How's everybody doing? If you guys don't know me, my name's Andy Teal. I'm the pastor over Worship Arts and Creative. I'm kind of just associate to Pastor Keith, his right-hand man. And he asked me to share with you guys this morning. I've shared a couple of times. And I was talking to my brother Thursday, and he says, so is it easier to get up and play guitar and sing in front of people than it is to speak? And I was like, dude, absolutely. Because when I get up and play my guitar and strum and sing, I'm singing someone else's message with you guys. So when I get up and speak, it's like there's this heavy weight of the fact that now I'm preaching God's word to you guys. And man, the weight of that is real. So again, I just urge you guys to make prayer for Pastor Keith and our pastoral team a part of your daily lives. They need it. Let me tell you, there is a feeling that comes over you, a heaviness, and it's a good heaveness. It's an awe when you have to share from the word. But I believe today we're going to have a great time. So I want to welcome our guests again. We're glad you're here. So let's welcome them one more time. I was going to pray for Pastor Keith, but Pastor Jim covered that. So, I ask you guys to do that continually till he gets back. I know they're doing some great things there. They're also in some of the most beautiful country in the world. So just pray that they get a good time of refreshing and that God speaks to them. He comes back and he's just got a message for us to carry us through the summer. So last week, again, I was going to recap that, but Pastor Jim took care of it. How many of you guys appreciated Kyle and Joy and what they had to share for us last week? I totally did. I love those guys. This week, we're going to do a little something different. So it's going to be audience participation day. Like, we're going to do some practical application. I was always a hands-on learner. I didn't do so well in school unless it was the hands-on type stuff, the lab type stuff. So I want you guys to participate with me this morning. I promise you, you'll get something great out of it. And so part of the participation, and I'm going to rob this from Joe and the Mighty Men, but I'm going to say to you guys, Homefront family, are you in? When I say that in my message, I want every one of you to say all in. So we're going to practice that real quick. Homefront family, are you in?
All in.
Yeah, I like that. Let's do it again. Homefront family, are you in?
All in.
Homefront family, are you in?
All in.
Awesome. We're not talking about poker. So I'm going to be sharing out of two scriptures today. So if you could turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 20 and then Acts 16 and just hold your places there. And I'm going to, as you're doing that, I'm just going to pray. Father, we're grateful that we could come into your presence, Lord. And God, I just confess I'm a little nervous. I'm nervous because you're a king, and I'm sharing your word today. And Lord, the weight and the power that is in your word, God, I don't want to share my message today, Lord, because my message is corrupt. It's tainted, Lord. But I want to share your word. So Lord, I pray that you give me wisdom and peace, give me clarity of speech, because I believe the word that you have for your people today is an important word. Lord, I pray that it goes straight to the heart of every person here. And we honor you today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We have kids with us this morning. Kids, where are you at? Let me see your hands. Hey, I know you don't like listening to a guy come up and stand in front of you and talk for a long time. So I'm going to try to make this really, really quick. But listen, I want you especially to pay attention to this, because I believe if you will get this right now where you're at, you'll never have to go through some of the stuff that all of us have went through. So really pay attention today, and I'll try to make it interesting. I'll try to make it quick. So we're going to dig into worship this morning. And you know me, I can't stand up here and talk to you without kind of explaining or defining something. So the question today is, what is worship? And we all kind of know, you know, we've read the Old Testament, we've read the New Testament, we show up on Sundays, but really, what is worship? And I was reading this article from John Piper, and I want to share it with you because he shared two really good quotes, but I'm going to share these with you because it just personified it to me. John Piper says that anything we do that gives expression to the supreme, all-satisfying worth of God, that's worship. Isn't that good? God's all-satisfying in anything we do. This includes giving up your body, sacrificing your body in martyrdom, right? Which none of us really have to ever think about because we live in America, which is one awesome reason to worship. We had heard from Kyle and their missionaries all over the world that daily are dying for their faith. And we think, well, that was just back in the Old Testament, or that was back in the early church, New Testament. But man, firsthand, I met a guy named George, and he's from Lebanon. And man, the power and the Spirit of God is on George. And George is running across the border of Lebanon into Syria, and he's taking care packages. And I mean, they're going through checkpoint after checkpoint after checkpoint. And every time they go through a checkpoint, they could be captured. And George is telling me these stories of daily people coming to Christ, Christ appearing to them in dreams. And we're talking about a deep Muslim background, but then the Lord shows up to them in dreams. Jesus is appearing in front of them, and they're giving their hearts to God, and ISIS doesn't really like it. And he was telling me of this young man who's about 18, was a devout Muslim, was actually kind of part of the opposing forces. And then somehow or another, he began reading the Bible, and it changed him to the core. Jesus appeared to him, and he was talking to his mother about 3 months later after he started reading the Bible, and he said, "Mom, I would die for what Jesus has done for us. I would die." And like 2 weeks after that conversation, the opposing forces, they pulled him out into the middle of the city with his mom and his daughter. His father was already in jail. They put a gun to his head and they said, "Renounce what you believe right now and come back and fight, or we're going to kill you." And he said, "I cannot do it." And right in front of his mother and right in front of his sister, they shot him dead. This is a guy that's only believed in the Bible for a month, but he was willing to go. And they even pulled his mother aside and said, "If you don't stop crying, we're going to shoot you and your daughter too." So but these are people who he in front of his family and in front of the whole town gave up his life and martyrdom for Christ. And that's worship, right? That's one form of worship. And praise God that we are in America, like I said, and we don't, probably none of us in here will ever be staring down a barrel of a gun being told to renounce our faith. And that's something to be grateful for. Another form of worship is, it includes us singing heartily and offering up our voice and heart to God. Kind of like what we were doing earlier. And that's kind of where I'm going to be taking this today, is that side of worship. But I want you to know, I spoke with you guys on a topic called Faith Works. Your work is your worship. Everything you do. John Piper goes on to say, "The essence of worship is a heart that would treasure God above all things." And for George and this gentleman who died for his faith, his heart treasured God more than even his life. So who wants a life that treasures God above all things? Who wants that? So Homefront Church, are you in? Homefront Church, are you in? All right. I hate to start it off like on a downtone, but I just want to make you aware of the realities that are happening. And when we get outside of our little Western American bubble, there's real stuff going on. But this morning, I'm going to lighten it up, and we're going to talk about worship as in praise and worship, as in singing, as in bringing exhortation to God with our mouths, with our lips. And I don't know if you know this, but anyone who's spent a little time in the Bible, there are actually over 400 references to singing praise and worship to God in the Bible. There's also 50 direct commandments to praise God with singing. And even two of them are they're direct commandments to come together in a community and worship God together with singing, with hymns. So it's easy to say, if you read through the Bible, God has a passion for worship, for singing praise. Would you agree? Okay. Well, I want to kind of walk you through a couple of the Psalms real quick. Psalm 96, listen to this. This is awesome. It says, "Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord and praise his name. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. We move on down to verse 11. It says, let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy, exclamation point. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming. Isn't that a striking image? Sing, shout, burst out with joy, because God is coming. Listen to this in Psalm 47. It says, come, gather, come, come, everyone, everyone. Clap your hands, exclamation point. Shout to God with joyful praise, for the Lord Most High is awesome. I love that. He's awesome. He is the great king of all the earth. And then it goes down to say, God has ascended with a mighty shout. So this is God. The Lord has ascended with trumpets blaring. Because he likes mariachi music, I guess. I don't know. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King over all the earth. Praise him with a psalm. So just right there in a sentence, five times, sing praises. Praise him with a song. It's pretty clear, pretty obvious that what we do up here before the service, before the preaching, is biblical. And I, you know, this week I really asked myself that. I really began to dive in to the Bible and go, why do we do this? And as a worship team, we sit down and we talk about it. Why do we follow this pattern? And we even are trying to kind of break the pattern up a little bit. But the reason we follow this pattern is because it's presented to us in the scripture. In that article that John Piper, I gave you those quotes, he talked about the Bible gives some very clear pictures of worship in the Old Testament. And it does, and you look at it, and it's so striking, and there's thunder, and they blow the shofar, and they sing, and they shout, and they dance, and they play the stringed instrument, goes through the Psalms. But in the New Testament, you really don't see that as much. And I really dwelt on that thought this week. I really just kind of let it bubble up in me, because I was asking God, like, why is it this way? But I heard this message, and it clarified it for me, and it made a whole lot of sense. He says that the Old Testament is the come see religion. And it was God's story that was built around this people, Israel, and their culture. And so you see, this is how they worshiped in their culture. It was built around them. But then when Jesus came and he grafted us in and he adopted us in, both the Jew and the Gentile, you don't see that picture as much in the New Testament. And he said, the clarification on this was that God would not oppose one singular culture to all the rest of the world. If he painted a picture of worship in the New Testament, then it would mean that every culture, every nation would praise this exact way for centuries and centuries. And that wasn't his plan. His plan was for his people to worship him in spirit and in truth. And I want this church just to be a culture of worship. We're talking to our team about it. I want this place to be a house of praise. I want people to know that the worship of the Lord is going on here. I want us to sing. I want us to raise our voices, not just because of tradition, not just because of a pattern that we do, not just because it's four songs, a message, and see you later. But I think we really want to develop a culture in this house of true worship to God. Did you know God sings? Did you know that? He did. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord, your God, in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. God sings, folks. He sings over us. We should sing to him. Did you know Jesus sung? He sang. It took me a minute to find this, but he did. And I wondered, did he sing? Well, he's Jesus. Why would he worship himself? But he worshiped the Father. But in Matthew 26:30, and this is before they go out to the garden, and this is before he's crucified, it says, then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. And so they regularly met, and they regularly had seders and Passovers, and that was part of it. They worshiped God. They sang hymns. They got into the presence of God with singing. So God rejoices over us with singing. Jesus sings. The disciples sing. And so what I'm going to encourage you guys today is, let's not just wait until, you know, the second, third song on Sunday for you to kind of break out of your shell and begin to worship God today. And I'm going to explain to you how when you worship God, things happen. It's not just a tradition. So knowing that, Homefront family, are you in? Awesome. So I'm gonna read to you right now. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles 20. And I'll give you a little bit of a narrative here. Man, you know what? I've been going through Chronicles. Last time I spoke out of Chronicles. Man, there is some entertainment in Chronicles. Like, better than Netflix, better than Game of Thrones. Like, straight up entertainment is in Chronicles. I didn't know. I used to skip over it because it does some genealogies and some stuff, and it gets kind of repetitive. But when you peel that book back, man, it tells a story. It tells God's story. So in 2 Chronicles today, we're going to be talking about King Jehoshaphat. And stellar name, huh? Here's the thing, the backstory on King Jehoshaphat. He was a good king, right? He came into the land of Judah, and he began to pull down the false idols. He began to pull down the Asher poles. He began to pull down the shrines to false gods. He went out into the people like he was a king that left his throne, and he would go out into the people, and he would encourage them to return to the Lord, to return to the God of Israel. He appointed leaders, good leaders. He appointed priests, and he appointed Levites. And he commanded them, and this is his quote, to always act in the fear of the Lord and not in the trembling fear. That word's actually the respect and the honor of God. And so what God was doing with Jehoshaphat is God was using his reign to bring about revival in the land. So here's what's happening. And I'm going to start in verse 22 here. Or 20, actually. I'm going to start in 20. It's not on the slide. It says, early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness. And on the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. And I want to stop here, actually. What happens is there were three armies coming in. I failed to say that. They were coming in from three different sides, and they were going to try to eradicate Judah and take over. And Jehoshaphat gathered all the people together, and they began to fast. He encouraged them to fast. They began to praise. And then out of this meeting, they got together, and a prophet arose, and he said, the Lord's going to basically fight this battle for you. Don't be afraid. Go out. Be fearless. The Lord is going to take care of this issue. And so here they are. This is kind of the day of the battle. And it says, on the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. And after consulting the leaders of the people, the king, and listen to this, appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. And this is what he's saying. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. And listen here, this is the part that's awesome here. At that moment, at the moment they were singing, at the moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. And after they had finished off the army of Seir, they turned on each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, there were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as the eye could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. At the moment they began singing. Now, they knew the battle was going to belong to the Lord. The prophet told them that. And it could have been that they go out and they just thrash these guys down. They didn't lift a single sword. They didn't charge a hill. They sent the worshipers out. They begin to worship the Lord. And at that moment, the army took care of itself. There's power in our worship, right? I want to read a little bit more and then we'll be done with this. They found us. Okay, not a single one of the enemy had escaped. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder they found. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. And on the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day, because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. It is still called the Valley of Blessing today. Then they returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat leading them, full of joy that the Lord had given them victory over their enemies. They marched into Jerusalem to the music of harps, lyres, and trumpets, and proceeded to the temple of the Lord. When the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over them. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. So, here's the thing. At the moment, they begin to sing. Someone in here, two someones, a handful of someones in here today is facing a battle. Enemies coming in on every single side. They're already in your territory. They're just across the bend. I mean, you might be feeling the pressure right on you now. But let me encourage you. When you begin to sing, truly worship. Truly pour out your heart to God. Those enemies, doubt, fear, the enemy depression, pain, anger, bitterness, those enemies, guess what? You're going to praise and you're going to sing and you're going to get to that very last refrain, that final chorus. You're going to go out to the lookout spot of your heart. You're going to survey your heart and you're going to look around and guess what? Every one of your enemies will be defeated. When you begin to sing, when you begin to worship from your heart, you're going to look out and they're all gone. And guess what? That's not the end of it. Because then you're going to begin to rein in and pull in blessings. The blessings are going to come in. The provision's going to come in. The healing's going to come in. The sanity's going to come in. Right? The peace is going to come in. The joy is going to come in. All the fruits of the Spirit are going to come in. But it's not until at that moment when your heart really begins to worship the King of Kings. The enemy is going to be confused and defeated. The battle is going to be won. You're going to have the victory. But you got to be in. Homefront family, are you in? Homefront family, are you in? There's power. There's power in worship. There's power for you. Power is released on your behalf when you worship. Write that down. Power is released on my behalf when I worship. And we're going to cruise over to the New Testament for a minute. We're going to go to Acts. And we're going to talk about Paul and Silas. You guys remember the story of Paul and Silas in prison? I'm going to remind you anyway. Excuse me. I love it, man. There's so much good entertainment in the Bible, and it's life-giving. But so Paul and Silas, they're traveling around. Basically, what happens in this story is they meet this. They're ministering in this town, and they meet this girl Lydia, and they all are kind of meeting at the river to worship. And so back and forth on their trip from Lydia's to the river to the place where they worship, there's this girl who is possessed, and she's kind of like a fortune teller or a seer, and she's like following right behind them, and she's just kind of chanting to them, or chanting to the people. It says she was basically saying loudly that these guys are bringing the salvation of Jesus Christ. These guys are bringing the salvation of Jesus Christ, which in theory really isn't a bad thing, but she's like yelling it out and kind of making a fool of herself. And finally Paul, which I love, he just can't stand it anymore. He's like, be out of her. He casts this thing out of her, and her ability to tell these fortunes go away. And the slave owners, they're frustrated about this because this was income from them. And so what they do is they take them to the council. They tell them, hey, these guys are trying to teach us to do things that are not part of Roman tradition. And so the council tears off their garments, beats them really good, and puts them in the deepest, darkest part of the prison. And to make sure they don't escape, they put special chains on their feet. So they bind up their feet. So they're sitting in the atmosphere. They're sitting in the middle of the deep, dark part of the prison, chained up in the dark. And it's midnight. And listen to this. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. That's important. Suddenly, kind of like at that moment when they begin to sing, suddenly there was a great earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundation. Listen here. All the doors flew open. They flew open. Explanation point. All the doors flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Not just Paul and Silas' chains, not just a couple of them. Every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Don't do it! We're all here." Trembling with fear, the jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with you and your entire household." And it says he goes back to the jailer's house. The jailer gives them food. He cares for them. They minister the gospel, and his whole family is saved that night. And they come to Christ that night. So what I love about this, a few things that just stick out to me is, number one, they're bound in chains in the dark at midnight. Doesn't that sound like an awesome time to bust out in some hymns and sing? I mean, sometimes it's hard to come into church with music and low lights and the atmosphere and bust out into singing. These guys have just been beaten, stripped bare. They're in chains and they're praising. All right, that's key. You worship. Worship is not for just the gathering together and singing. Worship is in your time of desperation. Worship is every single day getting into the presence of God, right? Worship is staring that problem down, looking it square in the eye, and still glorifying God in heaven for his goodness. It's filling those chains, right? What I love too is it says the other prisoners were listening. This is big. Like, worship's not just for you. It's not. There are other people in captivity. There are other people in chains and in bondage. And even at church, when you come into this place and you have the freedom to lift your voice, you might not know it, but your worship is about to minister to people around you. And you know what's crazy about it is you're worried about how well you're singing. And if you're on tune, and if you're on beat, and it doesn't even matter. The worship out of your heart to God is about to release chains on people around you. It's so important for you to get your heart engaged in worship. All right? You know what else happens when you worship? I love it. When they begin to worship, suddenly the atmosphere changed. Not subtly, suddenly. When you begin to worship, truly worship, I promise you, the atmosphere of your heart, the atmosphere of this room, the atmosphere in that situation will change suddenly. It won't warm up by the third song. It's going to suddenly change, but it's got to come from your heart. Another thing, all the doors, every one of the doors. They didn't just crack, two or three of them. It says they flew open. Some of you are sitting there in this part of your life, me included, and we're looking, waiting for some doors to open. They're locked. It's locked here. Oh, it's locked here. It's like no matter which way I turn, the door is locked. Suddenly, after they were praising, the doors flew open, all the doors. I got a feeling that if we could really get our hearts engaged in worship in this house, in this church, in our personal lives, all those doors we've been staring at, shaking at, trying to pick the lock, they're going to fly open. Okay? And then what I love about this, the last part of this that just really stuck out to me, is it says the jailer along with his whole household was saved because of some other guy's worship. Right? Your worship, whether you know it or not, you pouring out your heart to God may be part of the Holy Spirit's plan of bringing someone else to salvation. And when you don't do it, and I'm not trying to pressure you to do it because it's got to come from the heart, but when you don't do it, you might be inhibiting that plan. Have you ever thought about that? Here's why. Because the power is, God's power is released for others when you get into worship, folks. It's released for others. But you got to be in. Homefront family, are we in? Are we in? I'm about to tie this thing up as quick as I can, but I want to talk a little bit about engaging our hearts in worship. How many of you guys believe that there are power in our words? Okay, this is backed up in Scripture. In Proverbs 18:20, it says, "The power of life and death are in the tongue." And I always tell my family, I always tell my kids, it's like, it's what you say has power. It does. The Bible says it. The power of life and death are in the tongue. God, what happened when God, what did God say to get the sun? Let there be light. Now, he didn't just think it, he said it. The Bible says he spoke it. And he said, and the world was formed. There is power of life in the tongue. But here's the deal. We can get up here and we can look at the PowerPoint and we can follow along with these songs and we can say words, right? And supposedly life and death are in those words. But it's not just the words that carry the power. There is life and death in those words. But look what it says in Luke 6:45. It says, what you say flows from what is in your heart. So if you get up there and just read something, which is why I'm trying not to just read you my notes, what I'm trying to say to you guys is from my heart. When you sing these words, don't read something and make a melody and get through it and go, yeah, I got through it and it wasn't too pitchy and Simon Cowell would have loved it. When you worship God, worship from your heart, because that's where the power is. And this poses a problem for some people. And the problem is you're thinking to yourself, maybe you've even said it, it's like, my heart is empty. I can't sing from the heart because there's nothing in my heart for God. All right? Or some of you are saying my heart's broken or it's hurt. And so if I just sing hurt, hurt's just going to come out. My heart is angry. How can I sing the joy of the Lord when my heart is so angry? I'm a hypocrite. I can't sing that. And here's the thing. God is supernatural. It would be natural to think that I'm a hypocrite for singing the joy of the Lord is my strength or great is the Lord when I have nothing for God in my heart. You would think in the natural, I'm a hypocrite. Why would I sing that? I'm not even going to waste my time. But here's the supernatural thing about God. When you, in that place of nothing, in that place of hurt, in that place of anger, bitterness, doubt, begin to sing, to really sing, I believe God will replace that nothingness. He will fill nothing. He will calm chaos. He will bring joy to anger. He bring peace to frustration. But you've got to sing. You've just got to do it. This is what's cool about God, right? If I stood up here and said, hey, everyone worship me. Worship me. Come on, everybody worship me. Well, you would think. You think, well, that dude's shallow and he needs his ego boosted, right? But here's God. God is the only one in existence that when you pour out praise and adoration to him, you are filled. You are lifted up. You are made whole. You're worshiping him. You're telling him how great he is, but you're feeling better. And this is crazy. And it's because God wants us to experience ultimate joy and pleasure. And our pleasure, think about this. You go to a Rangers game. I don't know if that's a good reference. I'm not a sports guy. But they're doing really good, right? Evidently, that's a dreamland. They do whatever they do, a grand slam, right? And they bring three runners plus their self in, right? You're going to go crazy, are you not? Or the Cowboys win a Super Bowl. You're going to go crazy, right? Or you're going to be at a concert. Doesn't matter. Coldplay, for me, I'd love to go to one of their shows. And you're going to just be in the midst, and you're going to be jumping, and you're going to be singing. And you know why that you praise? Why you do? That's praise. You do that because it completes the enjoyment of whatever you're in. When you're there at the game and they bring that run home, you did nothing to make that happen. But when you celebrate, it completes that moment. And you know you're talking to your people and you're like, do you remember when that happens? And you get excited all over again. Or like you're in the midst of several thousand people and they play the hit song that everyone loves. And the people are singing it and jumping and louder than the band. Why are they doing that? Because they're in this moment and they go, this is excellent. And they sing and they praise because it completes. It just puts the bow on that experience. That's what happens when we worship God, guys. He wants us to experience full joy until we really just press in and get into his presence. It's like we're not completing the experience. We're just experiencing it, but we're not completing it. And then the next week, we don't have nothing to remember. There's no expectation when we return. Or in our car when we're driving to work looking like a fool and you think, well, should I sing crazy because the guy person next to me is going to think I'm insane? It's like, whatever. God's there. His presence is there. Worship him because it completes the experience. And you know what? It's an expression of your faith. So, man. We have to overcome a couple of issues right before we get to that spot. I know I make it sound like it's so simple. And even like, you know, I was truly saved when I was 16. And I'm you know, almost 40 now, and I'm still learning this. I sat down to prepare this, and God showed me something new even while I was preparing it. But he showed me that in order to really engage our hearts, the enemies. We got to talk about those enemies Jehoshaphat had. We got to dispel fear. Fear will keep you from worshiping, which will keep you from getting the fullness, right? Do you think Jehoshaphat was afraid? He's got one army. And yeah, a prophet said something, and that's one thing, but he's got one army coming in on every side but one, which there's a river on that side, or the sea on that side. They're closing in. I'm pretty sure he's keeping his composure as a leader, but he's a little bit afraid. And think about those singers that they sent out in front. Just go out with your little drum and your little whatever you played back then. I bet they were afraid, but you know what? They went outside of their fear and they began to worship. And at that moment is when God worked. So we got to overcome fear. Shame. Okay, proof that God is all about singing. And sing and worship. The biggest book of the Bible is a collection of psalms. Have you ever? This whole week on the way to work, I just listened to the psalms. One after the next, after the next, after the next. And we're talking about David, who was a man after God's own heart, the Bible said. Do you think he dealt with some shame? Do you know about David's story? All right, David was caught in an adulterous, or he had an adulterous affair, then sent the husband out to the front lines to be killed, to cover it up. But he repented, and you can read this through the Psalms. You can see it's like he knew these terrible things about him, and he would talk about, "My Lord, my enemies are coming in from every side. Lord, I feel terrible." And then that's how the Psalms start out. Most of the Psalms start out with a praise, a little bit of adoration, and then you can tell like the enemy might come in and go, "But you did this. You can't. Don't worship him." And then he begins to tell of all the bad stuff and all the things that are happening around him. But then at the end, there's always a but. But your goodness, but your loving kindness, but your mercy. God is into singing worship, man, because he made a whole portion of the Bible worship. Just read through the Psalms. But we have to get past that shame. So you might be in here engaging in worship, or you might be in your personal prayer time, if you have those, and engaging in worship, and then the enemy is going to start putting these random, wicked, weird thoughts in your brain. He does me. I'm like, where in the world did that even come from? Or he'll pull up a sin that I had long put to the cross, like years ago, and say, "Well, you can't worship. You did this." He'll try to use shame to keep me from engaging my heart. And I make a choice then. I can go on down the pity party road, or I can, you know what? Yeah, I did that. But because of your loving kindness, and I can begin to worship God, and things change. And that enemy flees. I look around, and those feelings of fear, those feelings of shame, they're gone at the moment that I begin to praise. And I've been practicing this the last couple of weeks. When a weird thought hits my head, I might even be in my office, and I'll just sing a praise song to him. I'll just sing a chorus of something. And it just goes away. People might think I'm crazy. I don't care anymore. The last thing, another one would be doubt. That's an enemy. That's what's going to keep you from engaging your heart. Paul and Silas, do you think maybe when they were being beaten naked with rods and then thrown into a jail, they might have doubted, "God, okay, where you at? We're getting beat here and we're naked and now we're in the jail." They could have sat in the chains and just doubted God and woed as me. But you know what they did? They begin to pray with their mouth, with their lips, because it said everyone was listening, and they begin to sing hymns to God. We got to break out of that thing that makes us scared to pray out loud. We got to break out of that thing that makes us scared to worship out loud, that doubt, that shame, because when we do, you're going to overcome these issues. So what I'm asking you guys, what I'm encouraging you guys to do is, it's time for us to really engage our hearts in worship. But you got to be in. Homefront family, are you in?
All in.
Are you in?
All in?
Let's make this place a house of praise. And I'm going to wrap it up here. This is the real important part. And I've kind of briefly jumped around. But it's worship in your daily routine. Okay, and I've said it already, we don't need to wait until Sunday, till the third song, to worship. Some of you men, you're embarrassed, well, you're not though, because you're embarrassed to worship with your mouth. That's what'll make you a mighty man. Some of you sit there and you're just like, "I can't sing because it's feminine." But believe me, if you're hanging on a cliff, you'd be screaming for dear life for someone to save you. And you clap and you scream and you laugh and you jump and you participate in concerts and Ranger games and all that. Right? You got to get worship involved in your daily routine, guys. Me, really. This is for me. I'm preaching to me. A couple of little practical applications here. Replace top 40 for Psalms 40. Okay, I love music. You guys might not know it, but my background is music production. I record music. I've recorded all kinds of music. I've been in the studio. I've been in a band. I've been a musician. I love music. I love the radio. I love listening to the most creative new sounds. I love it. But I need to practice worship more often. And that's going to mean turning it off of top 40 and putting on something that's going to edify me. Because think about it. You sing these lyrics to your favorite song. Stop and when you're singing them, say out loud with no music what you're singing. And if you don't feel conviction by the Holy Spirit, then continue to sing it. Now, I'm not telling you never listen to music. I'm not going to be legalistic like that. I love music. But man, put music, put worship in your commute sometime. Not every day, maybe. I'd say every day. But put God edifying heart worship into your commute. Okay? I promise you, you're going to have incredible results when that happens. You're going to feel more joy. You're going to feel more peace. You're going to make better decisions. Your words are going to be clean and they're going to be pure. Your mind is going to be clean and it's going to be pure if you get in the presence. All right, another thing you can do, sing an old song to God. I sometimes wonder why we don't play some of the old music. Into the Holy of Holies, you know, all these things. I wonder why we don't play them, and it's because we let culture dictate what's popular. But I tell you what, go find one of those songs where you first poured out your heart that time to God. And you begin to sing that in your daily life. Even a chorus of it. Write it down. Put it in your Bible, right? Sing an old song to God. I promise you, something's going to change. The atmosphere is suddenly going to change when you begin to sing that. All right? Sing a timeless song to God. All right? And this is what I mean by that. Have you guys ever gotten to Revelation? When you read the book of Revelation, it describes the throne of God, and it tries its best because, man, how can you describe God without falling down on your face? You can't even look in his presence. But it says the elders are gathered around the throne, and they're singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." To receive honor and power, get in Revelations and listen to some of the praise that they are saying with your mouth. Let me tell you what, there is power in hallelujah. That's why I say it so much. I don't say it because I'm up here singing and I've got nothing to say. Hallelujah means most high praise. And I see it in the Bible. That's why we say holy, holy. That's why we dwell in places. There are power of life in because heaven is experiencing those words. So sing a timeless song to God. Wherever you're at, in the middle of it. And suddenly things are going to change. And then this is my favorite one. And this is one I want to really begin to encourage us to do. And that's sing a new song to God. What's that mean? Doesn't mean we're going to play that latest Switchfoot jam. You know, we're not going to hit that latest Need to Breathe track. No, a new song is a you song. And I know some of you might sit there going, man, I do not sing. I can't sing. This isn't about whether you can carry a tune. This is about where your heart is. This is about life-giving words that edify and praise God coming out of your mouth. And it's about you being changed. I want this church to experience that. And I'm not saying that we haven't, but I want us to really grasp it. I want us to be a house of praise. Because I want us to overcome these issues that keep hitting us. I want us to hear these words. I want us to go out and change our city, change our state, change our nation. And it's all going to happen when we praise. We have to praise first. I want to read you a quote really quick. This is Bill Johnson. He's the pastor of Bethel Church in Reading. He says, "Nearly every leader wants revival in one way or the other. And many want healings, deliverance, miracles. But it's hard to have the same fruit as the early church when we value a book they didn't have above the Holy Spirit they did have." Now, I'm not saying the word is not important. They didn't have the Bible. The Bible was for us. They gathered around the presence of God. The church camps around the sermon. Israel camped around the presence. Learning to recognize, treasure, and carry this presence is at the heart of the Christian life. Recalibrating our hearts to this supreme value affects everything. We can't wait till Sunday to come in here and stoke up this little ember that's in our hearts, that's Christ. We need to show up hot, burning hot, and gather around the supreme presence of God in this place. We have to engage our hearts in worship. Guys, you have to do this in your daily life. I promise you, this is the thing that's going to change your life. When you do this, everything you hear from this pulpit, everything you read out of this scripture is going to be in a whole new brighter light. But you got to be in. Homefront family, are we in? Let's stand up. Here's what I want you to do. Let's just take a moment real quick. Just be still. Holy Spirit, what are you showing us today? Just ask the Holy Spirit what he'd show you today. Where are you in this? Are you in? Are you all in? Now let's just imagine for a moment that in this room is a king above all other kings. Let's imagine for a second that right here, physically embodied in front of us, is the Prince of Peace, Jesus himself, the one that paid for every sin on the cross, is right here. Because the Bible says, whenever two or more gather in my name, I will be there in their midst. Imagine that. The striking, bright, brilliant light of heaven. The thousand voices upon thousand voices, legions upon legions of voices worshiping the King. It's too much. It's too much to even imagine. What would you say if you could even speak? If you could even utter words? If you weren't flat on your face, paralyzed, what could you say? What would you say? I want you to think of a couple words right now. Just think of a few words. It doesn't have to be a lot of a few lines. It could be something you've heard in the Bible. It could be something that's coming right from your heart. But I want you to think of these words. We're going to take a minute and we're going to sing a new song collectively to the Lord. And I want you to sing those words that you're hearing in your mind right now, what the Lord is speaking to you right now. Flashlight, right? We've talked about this. That's the faith. That's the heart. That's the praise. When you shine your light, and you shine your light, and you shine your light, and you shine your light, that little light becomes what? It becomes a brilliant light. And that light reveals the manifest presence of God, the presence that heals you, the presence that sets you free. It kills the doubt. It kills the fear. So we're going to sing one more time together right here. And some of you need healing. And I believe you can get that healing here. Some of you need freedom from bondage. Some of you need just peace. Let me tell you, I went to a concert with Christine and Amanda, and it was a Bethel worship concert. And I don't believe that one person or one group carries a special anointing other than another, because the Spirit of God, the presence of the kingdom is here, is what the Bible says. We were standing outside. It was 96 degrees. We're all sweating. The doors are 5 minutes late from opening, and there are people behind us singing and worshiping already. You know what they had? They had expectation, right? And I went into that room, and I'm a runner, but my heels have been hurting for 2 weeks. I have a standing desk, and at work, everyone said, "Hey, man, why you been sitting down?" Because I put my desk down. I've been sitting because my heels were killing me. I was getting heel spurs in both of my heels. I couldn't run, so I was depressed about that. That's my coping mechanism. I was in pain, and so it was making me frustrated. My wife's saying, "What? Something's wrong with you. What's the matter with you?" And I'm like, "There's nothing." You know, and then that would cause. I went into that room with heels hurting me. But I was so ready to worship God, because we do it a lot here, but it's very rare that I get to be on this side. And so I'm sitting there in the conversation in my head. The first song kicks off, and I'm like, "Oh, this is such a great atmosphere. There's such expectancy here, but I think I got to sit down because my heels hurt so bad." And I just, you know what I did? I said, "You know what? No. I'm going to pay for it later, but I'm going to stand because I cannot sit below this thing that's happening here." And so I begin to worship, write songs I didn't know, just singing them, whatever melody I hit, plugging one ear, trying to harmonize, but I was worshiping at the same time with my whole heart. And we get on through the night, and my feet are killing me, killing me, killing me. We get through the last song. My feet are killing me. I cannot wait to get out to the car. And they're about to close it down, and then Bill Johnson, that guy that I gave you the quote for, he come out, and he said that he believed that the Spirit was in the room for healing. There was an expectation, and he began to name things off, and he said, "Someone's got a pain in their neck." And we've seen this, and I've seen it, and I've prayed for healing, and sometimes I'm skeptical. Right? I'm just being transparent with you. He said, "Someone's got a pain in their back." And he's going through all these things, and no one's talking about the pain in my heels. Right? But I said, "You know what, God, this hurts. My heels hurt. I'm depressed and I'm frustrated. Would you heal me?" Now, keep in mind, the place was ablaze with hearts pouring out to God. Not moments after I said, "Would you heal me?" I felt my feet settle. It's like I settled down, and whatever was in my bone spurs or whatever, my heels, whatever's happened with them, I felt it dissolve. Like it dissolved. I felt it. All right. Right after that happened, he goes, "Someone was just healed of pain in your heels, and you felt it just dissolve away." It was exactly what I thought. I thought it just dissolved away. Listen, there is healing when we pour our hearts out, right? And it doesn't come in the ways that we expect it sometimes, but we got to constantly be in this place. This is the place we need to be. So we're going to sing, and I want some of you to believe for healing today. I want some of you to believe for peace, and then I want you to go throughout your week when you leave here, and I want you to turn off the top 40 and put on Psalm 40. Let the Psalms get into you. I want you to praise Him with a new song. Praise Him with an old song. Praise Him with a timeless song. This week, I promise you, things are going to change. So let's sing one more time, a chorus. We'll pray, and then there'll be people up here to pray for you. If you don't know God, or if you're far away from Him, come pray with somebody. Don't leave here with a need. We will gather around you too and pray. If you need healing, we will gather around you and pray. Don't leave this place. So after we sing, you're formally dismissed. But if you need prayer, our prayer partners, our prayer people will be up here. So let's sing one more time together as a church.
Be lifted up.
higher. Come on. Hallelujah. Worship be done. Be lifted. Come on.